So governments can't secure their data currently. They get hacked constantly, and these hacked materials end up on yeah could end up in the hands of criminals, and you could get like a rank order, a list of who holds how many, I don't know, dollars or crypto or whatever assets. And this was actually the case in the 90s, I don't know, in Slovakia or in Russia or something. You get actually like organized crime. They knew how much you have in the bank. So, and this might get, and they might be bothering you. So I think we will get back like into this kind of future, sadly, with more and more hacks and the government legacy infrastructure being more vulnerable to it over time, even today. So the privacy is very important. So privacy over KYC, it's like, yeah, one of the like kind of moral flippening or something.
Hello, welcome back to Mtambo Desk Podcast. My name is Duke Mtambo, and the following is a conversation with Yakub Shimek, a co-founder of WealthShareDAO and an author of Wisdom Enterprising. In today's episode, I'll be talking with Yakub Shimek about his article, Crypto is for Power Users and the Powerless, under the second season of Daily Balajizin series. And now, dear friends, here is Yakub Shimek. Yakub, thank you for joining me again and always on at Mtambo Desk podcast.
Hi, Doug. It's a pleasure to hear you and to see you. And I'm happy that we are doing this second season again together.
Well, so let's start with the quote from Vaclav Havel, who talked about the power of the powerless. What do you think about this statement, and how does it relate to Balaji Srinivasan's work?
Yeah, so like I mentioned Vaclav Havel, who wrote an essay about like a greengrocer, like a person selling some vegetables, who put a sign in his shop saying "Workers of the World Unite," and thus he falsified his preferences, meaning like he wasn't like pro-socialism or pro-communism, but he was doing like what everybody was doing. If you didn't have that sign, it was like 1st of May or some kind of celebration, and you needed to, yeah, to show that the allegiance to the powers of the day in Czechoslovakia. So it's like, okay, he talks in this essay about the power of the powerless. It's a couple of decades ago, and then there is Žižek, like more recent philosopher, he like more on the left or the classical left, but he was also a dissident during the communist times in the former Yugoslavia, and he talks about the kind of attitude that he calls like I would prefer not to attitude, like I would prefer not to, I don't know, do this or that, and it can be called like some kind of internal exit, like from the system. So Václav Havel called about or talked about something what Timur Kuran calls a falsification of preferences. And Timur Kuran is like a Turkish economist, and this he illustrates it actually with Czechoslovakia. Before 1989, before the Velvet Revolution, there were not so many dissidents, and a few months after that, after the revolution, there were not so many communists. So there was some journalist like from the US, he came and he wanted to get some communists for interview, like how do they feel about the changes, and he couldn't find any, which is funny, because it's like within a week, you can see the change, like from not so many dissidents to like not so many communists, like with Balaji's prediction that the Bitcoin maximalism is like the the most underrated movement. You know, like it's like almost nobody knows it, and it's like very important movement. And he has a prediction that over some years or months, you never know in these days, they will the Bitcoin maximalism will take over like the Republican political party or the movement in the same way as Democrats were taken over by the woke the wokes or the woke phenomenon. And both of these, like the Bitcoin maximalists and the wokes, they operate on a network and not on a state. So they are like fundamentally like a network driven ideologies. And yeah, because Balaji has these like three leviathans of God, state, and a network, and you can have various hybrids between them or like some kind of synthesis between them. And yeah, so the network state, like his book is like one of these kind of hybrids or synthesis. But yeah, but these movements like the wokes or the Bitcoin maximalists, they work on a network. So today we could call we could like propose some kind of poster or a sign that the green grocer from Václav Havel's story about the power of the powerless. It could be something like not the workers of the world unite, but wokes of the world unite. You know? So it's
nice
like
one.
Yeah, you just like want to be. You want to be synced with the times, and you want to like praise the powers of the day. So you know, it's like all these like ESG phenomena or these like diversity, equity, and inclusion kind of initiatives. Like there is some good to it, and I'm not totally opposed to ESG because I think it's in its core is like a protopian movement, not a dystopian or utopian. It's like getting better every year. You know, like saving a bit more energy, like as a company every year. So I'm not so critical, but like yeah, there are some variants like the World Economic Forum kind of variants, and they don't get a good reputation. So yeah, there is a lot of good criticism of this movement or this phenomena like ESG and corporate social responsibility before. So ESG stands for ecological governance and so ecological, social, and governance risk kind of management issues. So yeah, it's like a triple bottom line, whatever. But yeah, okay, the wokes of the world unite. So it's a good idea here, or just like a metaphor. Yeah, and so this is like where you totally like falsify your preferences if you don't believe in what you're saying, but you kind of want to be the cool kid. You want to want to please the authorities or the elites of today or the establishment. So you do something like this, like walks of the world unite. So and then another level is like some kind of like internal exit. So you would like kind of not do it, you know. It's just like I would prefer not to put any sign into my shop window, and just like I don't know, just like not I would prefer not to virtue signal, like you know, it's just like I'm living my life, I don't care about this movement, that I'm not gonna do anything. And the third level, something like I think that Balaji kind of tries to do, and it's actually an actual exit, and it's not just like some internal exit like from the system on some kind of symbolic level, but like an actual exit. And this exit is possible by technological innovations and also by moral innovations. So you know, like reframing some kind of issues. Like in the article, I mentioned that, for example, he has a kind of radical view on charity. So he thinks like the true charity is investment because, you know, it accelerates both the recipient of the investment and also the investor. And like the classical charity decelerates because, you know, it's often just like some kind of symbolic donations, because if you really almost no one like really wants to give like half of their wealth to some random person, you know, because it would like kind of destroy their wealth, no, not destroy, but halve their wealth. But it might also, like, the other person might not be used to handling such big amounts of money, and they might not like progress. And there is not much upside, but with investment, there is a lot of upside. So, like Balaji talks about Peter Thiel investing in Mark Zuckerberg in Facebook, and so both get richer, but Mark Zuckerberg actually got much more richer than Peter Thiel. So it's an interesting kind of
Okay.
explanation or example of this phenomenon. So it's like,
So,
just to please go on.
okay. I just wanted to just say on the actual exit. Another example could be like creating off say off ramps for both the counter elites and the powerless of the world, including those fleeing, for example, persecution, or using cryptos in places like Venezuela or Lebanon to make ends meet, right?
Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of, like the proposition is that the crypto is very early. It's like the internet in 2000, in the year 2000. So it's mostly used by the power users, like people who want to send, I don't know, 1,000 transactions immediately, like let's say 1,000 transactions and $10 each, and they're like very international. So it's like to the 1,000, I don't know, some kind of like crypto tasking jobs across the globe. And the traditional banking is not set up for this. So like crypto is very good, like Bitcoin bounties. And Balaji actually had a company around it, earn.com, and he sold it to Coinbase. Amjad Masad also discusses this idea of like bounties, Replit bounties. So I think this is like the jobs of the future, and we discussed it also on this podcast in the first season, that privacy over KYC or pseudonymous economy, like how important this is, and like with small amounts it's even like kind of obvious, like it's the traditional banking can't just handle these like let's say 1,000 payments of $10 to, I don't know, people in 100 countries, like scattered around 100 countries. So crypto is very good for this. Bitcoin Lightning is very good for this, and there are some new kind of research papers and evidence that Bitcoin Lightning, like the layer two of Bitcoin, is like a million times more efficient than the traditional banking, and even Bitcoin itself, it's maybe 50 times more efficient or 52 times more efficient than the traditional banking network, if you count not just the Visa paying things, but like all the legacy infrastructure, all the ATMs, the cash handling, the bank tellers. So, yeah, and Balaji talks about this, like this idea of like there is some kind of metaphor, I don't remember from baseball or something, but he's like you have to make your moral argument like very clear and move the ball, I think, on a 100-yard line. I don't understand this metaphor, but that's how he calls. I mean, he talks about it. But the idea is like, if they hit you with KYC, you should hit them back with actually privacy over KYC. So governments can't secure their data currently. They get hacked constantly, and these hacked materials end up on yeah, could end up in the hands of criminals, and you could get like a rank order, a list of who holds how many, I don't know, dollars or crypto or whatever assets. And this was actually the case in the 90s. I don't know, in Slovakia or in Russia or something. You get actually like organized crime. They knew how much you have in the bank. So, and this might get, and they might be bothering you. So I think we will get back like into this kind of future, sadly, with more and more hacks, and the government legacy infrastructure being more vulnerable to it over time. Even today, so the privacy is very important. So privacy over KYC, it's like Yeah, one of the like kind of moral flippening or something, you know, like you shouldn't just be scared to say, you know, like what you think and what is, and to provide an actual logical argument, which is very difficult to refute because these hacks have happened of government systems.
Yeah.
And yeah, so privacy is important. And like currently the European Parliament actually proposed a limit on like of 1,000 euros for these like anonymous transactions, like yeah, crypto transactions. And yeah, I mean, it's just like kind of ridiculously low amount, and it would affect like the whole Web3, NFTs and so on. And like and doing this just for like because of KYC, know your customers, like AML, anti-money laundering. Well, I don't know. We are living in the internet era where many people want to become anonymous because or pseudonymous, better. That's a better term, you know. Like the pseudonymity is pretty normal in Web3 sector. You get people who work pseudonymously.
Yeah.
And actually, pseudonymity like protects you from discrimination. You know, you it's just total like total meritocracy. You know, like you can be a woman, you can be, I don't know from which country, or you can be old person, but it's like it's all about like if you can deliver the work. And so yeah, pseudonymous economy and privacy is like these are like these moral flippening or moral kind of innovations and the one commandments as Balaji calls them that are important. So like one like how you get progress basically is like with moral innovations underpinned by technological innovations, because without blockchains, without Web3, we wouldn't even have this idea of exit, you know. So like Václav Havel or Žižek, they wrote before Satoshi, you know, came up with Bitcoin and before all these crypto kind of ideals and ideas and actually real technologies were available. And so now we have like the possibility of real exit, and it's still very early. So therefore, like Balaji talks about like the power users and the powerless, but it's like a very dynamic system, and you can become from you can become like someone like CZ, who is like the founder of Binance, who is at the same time a power user of money, but also a powerless because he. Is disfavored by both the Chinese and the US establishment, and he's, you know, always kind of like kind of on the run metaphorically
yeah.
At least, you know. So and you can, you know, you can find out that some people just might really become power users, you know, like I don't know, download a wallet, not really power users, but in a way like not be just like a normie people, but they suddenly, I don't know, the money is gone, as Balaji says, and people get scared, so maybe they download some kind of Bitcoin Lightning wallets, and they receive, I don't know, 10 euros or 50 euros from their family members just like to test it out, and suddenly now they are they are holding some BTC, you know, and they become part of yeah the crypto nation.
Yeah, it's yeah. Funny also, like on the side of I mean, comment on BTC, there's a this tweet on Twitter, Elizabeth Warren. Like people are saying that he's anti-crypto, but now Apple managed to put like you know, to hide the white paper of Bitcoin white paper in every laptop, MacBook, I mean. And yeah, so it's funny, people are saying are those Apple employees pro crypto or something. Or
that's
Bitcoin.
Crazy. Yeah, I saw it, but I didn't read much into it. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Yeah, there is another thing that I just like found out, like, you know, like just like a couple of days ago, and I just read about it. It's like it's called Noster. I don't know if you follow it. It's like some kind of it's not a social media, but like some kind of protocol. I don't know, some Bitcoin people like it. It's a company that Jack Dorsey invested in, and it's like some kind of like The centralized messaging kind of thing,
Ah.
where you can integrate easily with Bitcoin Lightning. So I want to check it out, you know. I think it's like, you know, it's a good times for these kind of apps, you know, so.
Yeah, Polkadot also patented another decentralized social media. So
Ah, okay,
they
cool.
want to support it. So yeah, and it's very interesting. Moving on, Balaji makes a distinction between money rich and power rich. Maybe you can elaborate on this and how does it relate to also work on actual exit.
Yeah, so like many people assume that if you are rich, you are also powerful. But Balaji makes this distinction between power rich and money rich. So like if you are Elon Musk, you are money rich. But also Elon had to leave California and San Francisco, and he left to Texas, meaning like he chose exit over voice or loyalty because he saw like you can't make any changes like political changes and edits to the current system. It's like totally kind of broken and corrupt over there in California. It's like one party state basically. And he was chase cho he like basically like some progressive local politicians chased him away, in a way. Like there was like F Elon Musk, and he wrote, like he replied on Twitter, like message received, and then he moved out, you know. And I think it's very important that he moves like as many of his businesses out of these kind of like blue states into red states, just to show that, okay, it's I mean he's like part of this tech tribe, which could be called like a gray tribe. So it's not like a blue or red, you know. It's like tech progressives. Okay, he might have some like conservative leanings, but as Balaji says, like if there is a picture of like SpaceX engineers, you know, from Tesla, mostly they're like immigrants, you know, and it's like not so many like American Southerners there, you know, like doing engineering at SpaceX or at Tesla. So it's like a different tribe, but like in the current US establishment. You will get, or the US USA of today, you would get like more pro business, pro crypto, pro technology, and also like pro law enforcement energy within red states like Florida or Texas. And it's okay, now you get also like some anti-Bitcoin mining bill from Texas. So I think Balaji is also right, like maybe you should leave the US and move to Dubai if you have money to do it, or something, and you want to or you see your future in crypto and you want to do some like crypto focused businesses, probably being outside of the US is the best place. Probably some African countries as well, or El Salvador, you know, in the near future. The EU I'm also not so bullish on, so let's see. I don't know, like, you know, Portugal and Hungary might be some like interesting places, but they're still within the EU. It might be like Gibraltar, I'm not sure. Some places probably that are like some small city states outside of the big system, probably Channel Islands. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but I see also like people are shifting more into Hong Kong right now. It's
Yeah,
more
that's
favorable.
interesting. Yeah, actually, I might explore it as well. I mean, not moving to Hong Kong, but like if you can get some, like some banking services or something like that. I don't know. It's just like a regular person, you know. Or probably it's like those crypto companies. They also open some kind of Hong Kong bank. Banking services. So if you buy crypto, it gets rerouted through Hong Kong, probably. I don't
Yeah,
know.
maybe.
Yeah, let's see. So you don't, yeah.
But there are some people who are saying like this Bitcoin thing might be China might had it's a strategy, you know, for them. Initially they were the biggest miner of Bitcoin or crypto in general, but they decided to shut it down and So for someone who's saying like right now you think the US fighting it, so it's like they wanted maybe play say for example US and make them like ban crypto, and then for them they are still buying it or holding it, you know, because now we are seeing even US government is selling the crypto that they had they had stole from those guys who hacked, you know, got those Bitcoin through hacking, you know. So
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
but now they're selling their Bitcoin. Previously I think they sell some amount of their total Bitcoin, and it's speculated that they are like one of the biggest holders in crypto. I mean Bitcoin, not crypto, but Bitcoin, the
Oh, you
biggest
mean like
hold share.
the
No, no, no,
Chinese.
not the US right now. But now there's a speculation. But now we are seeing even US government is selling is Bitcoin because of Elizabeth Warren and all that. Those who wants to fight Bitcoin and all that. So, but it's like a strategy for China. They wanted to ban it, maybe to for you know other countries to see it's not a good thing. But still, they are the biggest holder of Bitcoin. So when US ban it completely and they decide to not to support it, people are speculating that China might come back again and allow mining and all that, you know.
Yeah, it could be, or just like they leave it for Hong Kong, you know, just like it's like not the mainland China, but they, you know, they have it like on an arm's length, or you know, like somewhere like in Hong Kong, you know. Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, but it's at the end of the day, it's like fighting email as a protocol, you know. So I don't know, is email a Chinese thing or the US thing or a global thing? You know, it's a global thing. It's an address, you know, it's you check, you know, it's like something, name, surname at some domain dot com or something, you know, and it's doesn't look Chinese, doesn't look Russian, doesn't look American. It's like post-American. No, it's like so the crypto is to the US what America once was to Europe, says Balaji. So it's, you know, internet is the post-American world. It's like the next frontier. And so it's not anti-American, you know. And so if Hong Kong embraces Bitcoin, or if United Arab Emirates embrace crypto and some other places, it will be a tough fight, you know, because the US might pull like all its strength, you know, like all the financial muscle they have, like what they did like previously with all the sanctions and stuff, so they might do it. But our thesis, also from the previous discussion here on this podcast, is that also Balaji's thesis is that if the Chinese were not able to destroy Bitcoin, probably the US also won't be able to do it. But it might be a tough fight, you know, because they might they might do this restrict act, you know, they might really scare the normies. And they've been doing it for a long time with this, like, oh, Bitcoin is not ecological. But you see, if you look at the facts again, if you look at the new information, new research, then you find that okay, the Bitcoin is like 52 times more ecological than the regular traditional finance or traditional banking because of all these ATMs, cash handling, all the workflows. And if you consider even the whole system, like the fiat money is backed by men with guns, so all the military thing, it's not so ecological, you know, bombing other countries to nothing, it's not into pieces, it's not ecological. Yeah, so like, but if you then go like on a layer two, if you consider Bitcoin Lightning, as we discussed, it's like a million times more ecological than traditional banking. So you always have to like do the moral critique. You have to come up with the moral innovation and do the crypto history, and also like to know the history of your field of your innovation. So of the field where you want to make the technological innovation or the moral innovation. Winners write history, but as Balaji says, you need to write history to be a winner, you know. So you need to know all the cases where the traditional banks failed miserably, repeatedly. just discussing Hong Kong, so it's the HCBC, what's the name of the bank, like Hong Kong, something British, HSBC, it could be. Yeah, they have a history of money laundering, for example. repeat offenders, but not just them, like Deutsche Bank has the history, Danske Bank has the history, and many, many, many others. So,
But I think it would be a stupid mistake that the US will do to ban, for example, Bitcoin, because it's not about Bitcoin, it's about the technology, you know. So if you will not be able to support the technology, and this is the next thing, big thing, the world is shifting, you know, people are becoming more decentralized. They want to have their privacy. You know, they want a government or a governance where nobody is, censoring them and all that. So, yeah, like this is the future, and seeing US banning this technology, it would be a very big mistake for them, because I'm very sure China will embrace it. I'm very sure Russia will embrace it, and now it will be now fight. The next fight will be on the tech, you know, giants, and who can fight tech wise. It's not who can fight using men with guns, you know. So, or nuclear, something like that. So even nuclear is more of technology applied there, you know. But so for me, I think US with this also new bill of restrict, it's a big mistake. Yeah,
the restrict act. It hasn't passed yet, but if it passes, then actually the US becomes kind of even scarier place than China in this kind of digital authoritarianism kind of.
But it's ridiculous, because these are the pioneer or people who are pushing for democracy for several years, you know. But all of a sudden now they're shifting to become authoritarian, you know, more of authoritarian and totalitarianism, you know, within, you know, a second.
Yeah, but it's very kind of leaky concept, what is democracy and what is not. So Balaji has kind of a rule of thumb or a heuristic. So it's the democracy is what the Democratic Party says the democracy is, you know. So if you are unbanking Canadian truckers, you know, it's okay, it's Canada, it's not the US, but it's very close psychologically or ideologically to the US establishment. So if Trudeau is unbanking and freezing assets of Canadian truckers who are protesting COVID restrictions, this is still democracy. But I don't know if, you know, I don't know, Hungary or some other place does something that is kind of try, they, I don't know why they do it, but I don't know, they try to kind of signal to Republicans, and they are fighting some kind of cultural war issue of the day, relatively mildly compared to, let's say, some other countries, definitely compared to Saudi Arabia or something, you know. It's just Hungary is, I discussed it many times, that they are much more liberal if you look at their laws than Slovakia, but somehow they get much worse reputation than Slovakia, because it's all about this kind of signaling, but people don't care about the underlying reality often in the media, you know. So, yeah, I mean, democracy is what the Democratic Party says democracy is. So if you get put into jail for 20 years and all your property is taken away just because you access some, I don't know, stupid TikTok dance videos on a VPN, then... Yeah, I mean, it's worse than China, I guess.
Yeah. Very worse than China. And
Yeah, and let's
also,
see how it plays out. I think they will like use every kind of tool they have to kind of attack Bitcoin, but it's like, you know, it's or crypto in general, or but you know, it's like many Democrats also like crypto, many libertarians or leftists like crypto as well. So yeah, it's a
yeah,
different it's a di different kind of political division than left and right. It's more like the libertarian versus authoritarian axis, what Balaji also says. So the axis is shifting like 90 degrees, like so it's not left and right, but it's like authoritarian versus libertarians, either left or right libertarians. And yeah, so it's like the dollar versus Bitcoin, or the state versus the network kind of thing.
Yeah, it's true, but yeah, I'm seeing I don't see if people will succeed fighting Bitcoin or say crypto, because I'm just comparing it with the innovation of internet in the late 1990s or 2000. You know, like this company, say parcel company, they didn't like it. You know, when Gmail was introduced, they're saying no, this thing cannot work. You know, we are used to delivering physically, you know, bring it to, you know, to your doorsteps, and email cannot do that. This is just scams, you know. But with time, what happened is all those companies died, you know, because they had fixed mindset, not growth mindset, you know, and they didn't want to embrace, and they were the big boys at that time, you know, they're controlling the market. But if the time comes, you know, you can't stop it. It's like the idea whose time has come. You cannot stop an idea whose time has come. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the new blue jeans is the orange coin, you know. So the orange coin is the new blue jeans, as Balaji says. So it's like, yeah. I mean, imagine like all these young people, I don't know, wearing blue jeans. So they already got the blue jeans. You know, it was like in the Soviet era. You know, like blue jeans was like the symbol of freedom, and it was very difficult to get. Actually, it was really expensive. You know, so that's also the point. You know, and so I think, you know, like I don't know, the US establishment, they're doing like stupid shit basically, because they're raising rates amid and also printing money at the same time, amidst this kind of crazy bank crisis, like financial crisis 2.0 with the digital bank runs, and they
It's
were
like they're
attacking.
doing the quantitative tightening and quantitative easing at the same time.
Fighting inflation, but also printing money. And I think that they don't even need to fight inflation at this point. It was caused by some external factors like supply chain disruptions because of the war and COVID and etc. But but they are doing this at like this kind of silly, stupid moves. And also the whole banking crisis of the last months of March 2023 kind of started with the crypto or technologically forward-looking bank like the Silvergate, and also the Signature. They destroyed Signature for apparently no reason, like it wasn't even insolvent. But with Silvergate, like the Senator Karen Elizabeth Warren was like dancing on their grave and being happy like that the bank has fallen, which is it's not a first world behavior, if I may say. You know, it's like really from, yeah, it's like, you know, the Latin America used to be like this, like with this level of populism, and I think now it's kind of flipped. So the US is like the Latin America, and let's say El Salvador is becoming like, you know, with it's like very pro-business, pro-crypto
Yeah, actually, on
kind of places,
El
yeah.
Salvador now, it's like people are saying it's the safest place to be. Previously, it was you know, being pushed or condemned or you know, by US for having like too many criminals and all. And actually right now, like Nayib Bukele, he has fought that all the prisoners and I mean all the criminals. And even right now, ironically, US government is trying to fight Nayib Bukele, because they are saying like they are handling those criminals in a bad way, so. And but it comes to understanding now, like these criminals were also funded somehow with the US,
At least,
Nokia.
like, probably through the because of the demand for drugs, and it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a, like, more complex and complicated point, and of course he might not get all the things right, like over there, but yeah, but definitely him accepting Bitcoin, and also how he did it with like kind of mandating Bitcoin. Not everybody will agree with this, but at least it's something like very innovative. It's like innovative place, and it has the feeling of like a pro law enforcement, pro business, pro crypto kind of place, pro tech
Freedom.
talent, and he put like zero tax on technological innovation. So he's like very kind of agile, kind of like a startup president, like a CEO president, which is, yeah, it's very interesting. But the US, instead of buying Bitcoin, now they're selling it, so like they try to do all the stupid shenanigans, like, and the interesting kind of thing is like they're doing all these like half measures, because they can't be as ruthless as China, or at least it's difficult for them because they have like still some kind of free press or citizen journalists, at least, like, the Twitter is kind of like being a freer place, thanks to Elon, and the downstream media, as Balaji calls them, they don't have such big influence as they used to have. So even if the narrative there is kind of captured like by the old establishment, they can't they don't wield such a like narrative power as they did before. So, but like, yeah, selling Bitcoin, like doing all this kind of like going after Coinbase, going after like Kraken, not allowing Custodia Bank, and I think Kraken Bank. Yeah, they're kind of destroying the prosperity of their country, because like you want to jail people for using VPNs, so maybe then first you should like do something with the open drug kind of play, open drug places, like in drug usage places, open drug scenes, is it called, like in San Francisco and some other cities where like people are being robbed and stabbed in a broad daylight, even in expensive districts, so it's not even in some bad places. So if you can't do just like the basic law and order, probably you shouldn't be chasing people who will watch TikTok dance videos with VPN, So, but it's really interesting that we are even discussing this stuff. Like 10 years ago, it would be like, the many people were critical of the US because of, I don't know, the Iraq and Afghanistan wars and this and that. But like discussing this kind of like the possibility of de-dollarization, of hyperinflation, or and yeah, it's kind of sad, but the positive thing is like we are discussing post-American world, like we are not anti-American, but we are discussing the Bitcoin and crypto as the next frontier, as being more Western and more American than the USA of today. So yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so okay, let's see how it unfolds. But yeah, I see like Nayib Bukele laughing last, like that saying, he laughs better, who laughs last, because IMF were fighting him and all that, and right now the
And
banking crisis,
he
the banking
repaid
crisis.
some kind of loan, to IMF.
Yeah,
So
he's
yeah,
good
so I
with
think,
his, he's good with his loan, he's managing his country very well, and
And he bought like he kept buying Bitcoin when it was still kind of like cheap, like 15,000 or 19,000. So I think, yeah, but he's doing it like how it should be done, like buying it in small amounts over a longer period of time, holding it, and let's see how it will play. Like you can't predict the price, but you can predict the destination, like how the world is what's happening in the world today, and that the Bitcoin or crypto is like more robust than the current banking system, which is almost insolvent, like 80% insolvent or something, like just because of this recent like TED kind of Fed rate hikes. Yeah, but okay, maybe just to wrap it up, like with the power users we discussed, it's like people like Balaji doing doing some crypto tasking businesses like earn.com and selling it to Coinbase to become a CTO of Coinbase, or working on USD coin, USDC, you know, like and yeah, which is like the second top stable coin or something like that. So these are like the power users, and then the powerless are people like in Venezuela and Lebanon who are, I don't know, in Lebanon because of the inflation and this destruction of the banking system, they are using Tether, you know, and in Venezuela people were mining Bitcoin, you know, just to survive and just to pay for some stuff, and and these places were once like much richer, you know. Venezuela was also quite rich. Lebanon was considered to be like the Switzerland of the Middle East. So, yeah. Also, Balaji talks about like America being the new Argentina, which is like also kind of, you know, like a country that was very rich once, and then it went kind of sideways, you know, and it never recovered. And so you can think about Argentina, you can think about Venezuela, you can think about Lebanon as, I think, good examples of like the future that is here, but it's not evenly distributed. And I think, yeah, like people will get more of this, you know, like, as I don't know, it's like, I think Curtis Yarvin, he says, like, you know, people thought that that Iraq will look more like New Jersey, and it seems like the New Jersey is looking more like Iraq after 20 years. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of a joke, but you know, like also with San Francisco and like these the rates of crime there. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's interesting because it's very complex. You have like very rich people, like I don't know, and then also like lots of homeless people. But the issue here is like, okay, why are we discussing America when I'm in Slovakia, Bratislava? You are in Voi, Kenya. Well, because it's like many of these phenomena, they kind of started in the US, or they started, I don't know, in Sweden or somewhere, you know, or all around the places, like this great awakening. But they get amplified by the US a lot because everybody, you know, watches Hollywood movies, everybody follows like what's happening with some drama around Elon Musk or BLM, you know, protests were all around the world. So the US is still kind of like a cultural hegemon, sorry. And so we are discussing these issues because of, you know, it affects us all around the world. And it will be like exported or imported all around the world. So like, yeah, if the US catches a cold, or sorry, if the US sneezes, everybody catches a cold. So of course it affects us. But yeah, as Balaji says, he's not like anti-American. I mean, he's American himself, living in Singapore, but he's like post-American, like the internet is post-American and crypto is post-American, meaning like it's more Western than the West. Currently, you know, it's like the torchbearer of all those Western ideals of freedom, pro-business, pro-democracy, pro-civil liberties. So yeah, we believe in decentralization or smart recentralization and smart regulators like Uber and Lyft versus taxi medallions. Yeah, so. Yeah, I think this is, and maybe just to conclude, like, yeah, so we have the powerless, like in Venezuela using Bitcoin, or in Lebanon, we have the power users like Balaji using crypto, you know, or financing many crypto projects. And then we have the middle, like the normies. And I think they're for a rude awakening, and many of them, I guess, also like got awoken or got awake. Because of this current banking crisis 2.0 or financial crisis 2.0. So we hope more people will get into Bitcoin. So buy Bitcoin, get it off exchanges, and move to a crypto-friendly jurisdiction, as Balaji says.
Wow, that's a great wrap-up, Jakub. Thank you for joining me again at Mtambo Desk. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thank you, Diego. It was a great conversation. Take care.
Take care too, and have a nice weekend. Well,
You too.
that brings us to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed listening to Mtambo Desk podcast, don't forget to subscribe, give this episode a thumbs up, and be sure to come back next week for another episode. Until then, this is Duke Mtambo, and don't forget to do good always.